What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Tap. I'm Michael. This is John.
What's going on, everybody?
You looking good today, John?
I'm feeling good. I got my beer socks on. We've got a good beer here. I'm pretty happy with it.
We do. Yeah, to touch on... Actually, let me not get ahead of myself because it is a really good beer and I do want to touch on it. But one thing we didn't talk about in our last episode or our first episode, our first last episode.
A little too excited.
First?
Most recent.
It's our first, second episode. Anyways, the we didn't touch on when we will be airing our podcast. And we will be dropping them every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for your viewing and listening pleasure.
Yeah, so make sure to tune in during those weekdays on your drives to work and your drives from home from work. If you guys go to the gym in the mornings or the afternoon, always remember to look out on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Fridays. And then we are looking to do some either short live streams on Sundays, especially during when the season starts, if for any start sit questions, anything like that. We might be running some mock drafts on Sundays leading into the season.
We're going to. We got to help our people win the championships.
Let's do it.
We're doing it.
All right. Every Sunday now.
Every Sunday.
We'll be doing a mock draft.
Starting this Sunday.
And hopefully as we move a little bit closer towards the season, we can start getting some of you guys in these mock drafts.
Ooh.
And we can run them with them.
I like that.
I mean, that's a great idea.
It is.
Let the people live.
Let the people, yeah.
Competition's great. We might even be able to start a league out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see if you guys can beat the Fantasy Tap. Definitely beat John. Will you beat me? Probably. But...
competition's
anyways,
strong.
I like that idea. That was off the cuff, and I really like that.
That's how I
John,
think.
You got
I'm an off-the-cuff thinker.
There we go, John.
See my notes page?
Yeah. What does it say?
Zesty Orange.
And he's talking about the beer, I'm assuming, Zesty?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a good beer from Terrapin Beer Co. in Athens, Georgia. We are drinking on the High and Hazy. Really good beer so far. I like it.
Yeah, anyone who's watching us on YouTube might have watched me kind of look at Mike and be like, dang, that's a good beer.
Yeah, you could read his eyes.
I'm a little upset that we don't have enough cans of this to continue on after we turn the show off.
Yeah.
Because it would have been nice to keep drinking these.
Very much so.
But before we get into it, we will be reviewing this at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to it. So stick around if you guys are here for the beer review. In for a treat.
Yeah. Yep. But let's help you win those fantasy championships starting right now. Today, since we just started, we had a whole off season between last season.
Between Patrick Mahomes winning the Super Bowl and today.
Yep.
We've had the rookie drafts or the actual NFL draft. We've had a lack of camp.
Yeah, unfortunately.
A whole bunch of off-season trades, player cuts, player signings.
Cam Newton, baby.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But
So today what we're going to do is we are going to go through, try to get you guys caught up on as much off-season news as possible. We've got a bunch of great notes, including, players reporting to training camp. Great news, especially for those rookies who are trying to, get on the roster or get that starting spot.
Yeah, hopefully.
We've also got, the unfortunate injury of Deebo Samuel, signing Cam Newton, like we mentioned. AJ Green signed his tender.
His little franchise tag. Yeah, good for him.
So, but let's get into it. Let's talk about the first thing and the most important thing. Most important thing. Players are coming back. They're back.
But they don't want to be back.
No. Well, no, they do want to be back.
They want to be back. You're right. But they're not happy with the guidelines that have been set for them compared to the NBA and the MLS.
No, but they're working on it. They're working on it. I mean, the NFLPA was speaking about how there's going to be zero preseason games.
Which is terrible for the rookies this season.
Right. But the players want it.
Oh, yeah. Most of the people that are voting in the NFLPA have gotten their checks. They're paid. They're on a team. They've probably secured a spot on that roster. But this is where you've got your undrafted free agents not going to be making that 53-man roster without really getting a full chance to be on that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they do have a shortened time period. You'll be listening to this on Thursday. So today, technically, in the future for us, but today is the day of reporting for the rookies. After that, quarterbacks and injured players report the 23rd of July, and all other players report on the 28th. That's great news. But like we were speaking about a little earlier, unfortunately, the rookies especially, you know, missed all the OTAs and practices like that. So
yeah, it's really tragic because, again, you know, that's when you really get to stand out as an undrafted free agent, a seventh round pick.
It's unfortunate. It is. But to go along with that, we'll get to the COVID guidelines that they're setting to kind of to protect the players because, you know, when it all comes down to it, that is the most important thing. You know, that the players are safe. Hopefully there are no, are the best case scenario, no positive, you know, COVID. The NFL can keep the players safe while doing so. So some of the guidelines that I was reading about, Judy Batista on NFL.com, she wrote an article talking about the guidelines that they're setting. What they're going to be doing is players are going to be tested every day for the first 2 weeks, which is pretty cool that they are able to do that, you know, to keep them safe. To
make sure no one comes up with a new positive
right
within that time period.
Right, and they're going to need more than one negative test in order to report. So sounds like they'll get two prior and they have to have two negatives in order to be eligible to go to camp.
What if you get three tests done because your second one came up positive, but the third one came up negative?
That's a good question.
Call Judy.
Yeah, I'll call Judy. but from that article I was reading, two is necessary to report. After that, the rate of positive tests will be evaluated after the first 2 weeks, and then they'll make, you know, further decisions from there. But if a player were to test positive with no symptoms, he can return 10 days after that positive test, or after two negative tests.
Okay, so if your running back goes down midseason because he tests positive for corona, you're looking at the very least 10 days out?
Well, if he tested positive, you know, 2 days ago, and then he took a test today and tomorrow, and
they both came back negative.
Negative. It sounds like he'll be able to go back. And then if they were to test negative, or I'm sorry, if they were to test positive and they do have symptoms, they can return after 10 days after the first day that he had symptoms, but that he has to have had 72 hours with no symptoms. So
handcuff season.
Big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big time. And the same thing applies to negative tests, then he can go.
So, absolutely.
Good stuff there. So that's a little update on the teams reporting to camp and the COVID guidelines. Let's move to something that is super unfortunate. No, I mean, I feel like it's all bad news right now.
No, there's plenty of good news. We're just starting off with the bad stuff first, so we have a nice happy finish.
Get it out the way?
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Rip off the Band-Aid.
Rip the Band-Aid off really quick. Just like Deebo Samuel's going to have to do within, you know, the next 10 to 16 weeks, depending on how his foot heals.
Hopefully 10 to 12.
But Deebo Samuel did come down with a Jones fracture.
Come down?
Sorry. He injured his foot, and it was ruled to be a Jones fracture. And generally, that injury takes about 10 to 12 weeks to heal, which would have put him at his readiness being just at week one, possibly week two. And so with camp moving forward, you know, he hasn't been missing any OTAs. He's still going to be just on par with everyone else right now. You're really just going to want to be paying attention to the reports that'll be coming out as camp gets started.
Mm-hmm. Closer to the season.
Yeah, closer we get season. I mean, we're still weeks out, months out until the season starts.
Month and a half?
Wow, it's only a month and a half. Yeah. Oh, it's getting close.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's time to rev up.
Yeah, so you're still a month and a half out. People are getting ready to start doing their redraft leagues roughly this time. And
they're starting.
Yeah, and if you're someone that's drafting just after or just before the season starts, you're going to want to check into that report. You know, if he's still falling low in his ADP, but they're saying like, hey, maybe he's coming out great. His foot's healing fine. He's going to be back on the field week one, week two. Take a bump in his ADP, you know, look at him early and just not too early.
I mean, I think he will be back that week one, week two range. I just don't know if he's going to be
as productive.
As productive. I mean, that's the part that scares me is the re-risk injury is high. I mean, or is relatively high. I think it was 20%, 15 to 20% re-injury, right?
Yeah, and it jumps up to 50% if you come back anytime before the 10 to 12 week
period.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so yeah, and that scares me. Currently, his ADP is 44, and that is in a standard league. So I mean,
wow,
it's kind of high. I mean, right. Currently, a couple other receivers going around him in that same range. Keenan Allen right before him. Tyler Lockett right after as the wide. So Debo is the wide receiver 17.
I'd take Debo with a foot injury over Keenan Allen.
Tyler Lockett though?
No.
Lockett. And I agree with that. Calvin Ridley is going as the wide receiver 15 at 41.3 or 41. So
he's still pretty high up there, but he is looking to have, you know, if he comes back healthy and barring any injuries that do happen, he's looking to have at the very least 15, 14 games of production this season. So if he's still looking to be the number one receiver on a team that has no good receivers outside of himself.
Well, they drafted Brandon Ayuk. Say that again, John. I mean,
Ayuk? Little goofy movie over there.
Yep.
But so even with him, he's an unproven rookie. We don't really know what to expect from him. He's played against college players who aren't, you know, the same caliber defenders that you're going to end up
time
finding.
Out. College players, they're not as good as NFL players?
No.
Okay. Breaking news.
Surprise. So we really don't know what he's going to be doing yet. He, you know, did well enough to get drafted early. So hopefully they're looking to do something with him. But Debo was still planning to be their number one receiver this season coming up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the biggest benefactor or person who benefits the most is really George Kittle. I think those first couple weeks he'll get more targets. So, I mean, and he's already going to get, you know, over. I have him projected at 113 targets.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I mean, he had 108
last year. Is that
with
16 games?
Yeah, 16, yeah.
Okay.
So,
that's doable.
So, anyways, a couple other things. You know, that to note on Debo is I was reading something from The Athletic earlier today, and they mentioned the 49ers could, quote, air quotes, exercise caution with Debo just because they had Trent Taylor last year with the same injury. And we kind of touched on this in our first episode, so it's a little bit repetitive, but Trent Taylor had the same exact injury happen in August. Before last year, and then he had a setback, so he didn't play at all last year. So, you know, maybe they do sit him for the first, you know, one or two weeks
just to make sure that he's coming back at full speed and not coming back injured, ready to re-injure.
Exactly.
And that would be smart. That's what I would do if I was the coach. But I'm worried about my fantasy roster.
Exactly.
So they need
to
play that man week one.
Yeah, but give me Tyler Lockett. Just give me Tyler Lockett. That mitigates the risk.
Yeah, but what if Tyler Lockett's gone? What if Debo falls to you? I still want him to play 16 games. Put him in, coach.
Well, I mean, don't we all? Anyways, before we keep going on about Debo, let's get to AJ Green, another wide receiver.
Yeah.
Signed his...
another injury-prone receiver.
Signed his franchise tag. Great news for Joe Burrow. great news for Tyler Boyd, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely takes a lot of the pressure off of AJ Green takes a lot of the pressure off Tyler Boyd the same way Antonio Brown might have for Juju when Juju has a breakout year a couple years ago. I mean, we saw Juju play last year as the receiver one, but he had no quarterback help to make it even a viable situation. So he didn't really get a chance to prove himself. Tyler Boyd last year without AJ Green still produced decent stats, but was almost the same caliber receiver he was when AJ Green was healthy.
I agree. Yeah. No. And not only that, I mean, I think the biggest the person who benefits the most. I need to get that word right. Is it benefactor? Is benefactor the right word?
Yeah.
So the biggest benefactor.
The last one to ask, but yeah.
Well, you know, you're the only person to ask right now. So
let's go for it.
Anyways, if that's the right word, the biggest benefactor is Joe Burrow. Getting a top tier receiver. He's definitely not in his prime. But you know, obviously adding another weapon to Joe Burrow's arsenal, I think that he benefits the most.
So even though he's coming in, when this season starts, week one, AJ Green's gonna be 32 years old as a receiver. He's still not in his prime. He still produces very well. I mean, last year he was receiver 44 in PPR format. The year before that, he was 10. Mm-hmm. The year before that, he was 34.
Well, he didn't play last year.
I'm sorry. 2018, he was 44. 2017, he was 10. Mm-hmm. 2016, he was 34 because he missed a handful of games that season too. And then as soon as he played another 16-game season, he's down to 8 again.
Yep.
So it seems like as long as he's healthy, he's playing, he's a baller. The only question anyone should really have about AJ Green is he healthy? I mean, he just came off of a full season of
being injured.
Nothing.
And currently his standard scoring ADP is 53 and his PPR ADP is 65. So are you taking him there? I mean,
am I?
He's currently the wide receiver 23 in the standard league and a wide receiver 28 off the board in a PPR league. What's your thought?
So, going back to what we talked about on our last episode, we were talking about our draft strategies. It would depend on the strategy I'm going for here. If I'm running a heavy RB strategy and I see AJ Green's fallen to me in my fourth round after I have my three RBs, I'd take AJ Green as my wide receiver one. It's a risk. But knowing that I'm going to stock up on receivers in my next couple picks means that I'm going to have a couple other high quality, high medium caliber receivers. We're talking wide receiver two, wide receiver three by that pick, or high end wide receiver two. And if I load up my stack with high end wide receiver twos and AJ Green, who's a possibility of being a wide receiver one if he's healthy this season, I'm extremely happy.
Let me give you a scenario,
okay?
Or quick verses, I guess.
Okay.
AJ Green or Juju? AJ Green or Juju Smith-Schuster? Ooh. Come on.
I'm going Juju.
Juju? Yeah. AJ Green or Terry McLaurin?
AJ Green.
AJ Green or Marquise Brown?
Oof. I hate to say it, but probably Marquise, but not Marquise if he's not my number one receiver. AJ Green if it is my number one receiver getting picked.
I've got a really good one here. I'm kind of excited about this one.
Okay.
AJ Green or Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson.
Bet. I feel that.
I think Allen Robinson's going to have almost as much opportunity as AJ Green.
More.
With the higher chance of not getting injured for a whole season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his only question mark is
Quarterback.
But, I mean, he produced last year with...
I mean, realistically, we're going back to rookies. So is AJ Green's. We've got Joe Burrow coming in here. I mean, he got kicked off... he left two teams because he wasn't able to be a starter there.
One?
Was it just one?
Yeah, Ohio State.
It was one for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways. Big Dwayne. So, yeah, I mean, I think I agree there. For me, if you were asking me those on-the-spot questions, I'm taking Allen Robinson. I'm taking Juju. And then I'm taking AJ over Marquise Brown. I just think I get Marquise will have those, you know, those big blow up games.
Just not consistent.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know that their offense is predicated around the run. So, anyways, let's keep moving forward. All right. Let's talk dollars. Let's talk dollars.
Half a billion dollars?
Yeah.
$500 million for this man?
What?
All right. So obviously we're talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no. I was talking, talking about me.
Oh.
No. Oh, I'm kidding.
Break it off. So, no, obviously we're talking about Patrick Mahomes getting his 12-year up to $507 million. I saw one place deal. You know, realistically.
Good night. Oh.
Never has to do a thing for the rest of his life.
No.
He's 160 guaranteed injury. If he gets injured tomorrow, he gets 160 guaranteed for the rest of his contract. I would go break my own leg.
Really? I'd play. I mean, he's a baller.
I'm saying. I mean, he's only...
I mean, to make it an extra 200...
400 million. 300 million. Yeah. But you're set. You're done. You don't have
to... I mean, I agree. Don't give me wrong.
$160 million. You're set for life.
Give me one. Just give me 1 million. Actually, I'll take 100,000.
And you're done for life? You'll just...
Yeah, pack up dude. Everything? Listen, I found the bridge to live at. I'm set. I got a fishing pole.
You're good.
I'm great.
You know, so him signing his contracts, you know, if anyone's doing a dynasty league, it's something that's really reassuring if you have him on your roster. I'm assuming if you're in a dynasty league, there's no way you're getting Patrick Mahomes on your roster now. He's someone who's going to be locking up that quarterback position for you for the next five years at the minimum, 10 years at the maximum.
What? He's only 24.
I'm saying he is going to be a top-tier relevant quarterback for at least the next 5 years, especially under the Andy Reid offense. And Andy Reid even came out and said that he's not retiring until Patrick does. He said he'll keep playing as long as Patrick's signed there.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, I'll pull it up. But so you've got someone who's going to continue to produce, someone who even in this offseason's attempting different kinds of crazy backyard football-style passes where he's doing side lateral behind the backs, and doing it in...
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was amazing. I loved it. But so, you know, he's someone who's continuing to try to change the game of the NFL. So if you're in a dynasty league, lock him up. If you have him, don't touch him.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you're paying too much. I mean, don't trade for him.
Don't trade for him. You're going to be giving up first-round picks plus top-tier running back plus a wide receiver one, and you might get him.
Okay. Dynasty, you're drafting today, dynasty. What pick... How early are you taking Pat Mahomes?
Right now, I have him at, in Dynasty, 18, pick 18. Personally, I'm never drafting from that high of a position. So,
wait.
Pick 18 out of 12? Oh, it's low.
John.
So, yeah, I actually draft
that from, math is great.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the division That's by what, 12 can get it.
That's why you're good at gambling.
Yeah, lose it all.
Lose it all.
Tune in, guys. It's coming. But yeah, so I have him at the 18. So, and that's his high. That's a ceiling that I would pick him at, depending on what I'm getting in the first. But QB1, QB2 off the board, guaranteed. You're either taking him or Lamar. There's really very little question between it. And more than likely, you're going to take Lamar. Patrick, knowing that Lamar is more than going to have some injury questions possibly in the future with as much running as he does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't do too terribly much. I mean, he, I'm sorry. Yes. Lamar. I apologize. I thought you were still talking about Patrick. I mean, if you have him, like we said, if you have him in a dynasty league, well, actually, would it be a good time to trade him away? Do you think this is his peak value? He just signed a 10-year extension?
No, because if he goes out there and balls again this year, like they're expecting him to, he's going to be even more valuable.
Yeah, but if you're getting a quarterback in return plus, you know, either a starting running back or a starting wide receiver.
Obviously, there's a trade that can get the Mahomes deal done. But there's no reasonable player out there in a dynasty format that's going to be willing to sell their whole team off just to lock up a quarterback, unless you're in a two quarterback league.
People like the hype. Flex. People like the hype.
Well, if you're trading them, add some other players to the deal. Get some more, because obviously they're not really paying attention.
John likes to do that. He likes to take advantage of those who don't pay attention. And you know what? You should too.
No, do not. It is the most toxic thing you can do in a fantasy football
league. I mean, don't be rude about it. But you're listening to this podcast. Obviously, they're educated, John.
Oh, everyone that's listening to us is going to be highly educated in the fantasy football realm.
So, I mean...
But don't go out there and start lowballing everyone in your dynasty league.
Not what I meant. Let's a little disclaimer. We'll put a little disclaimer in there.
Someone did that to me the other week, and I lost it.
Yeah.
I called him out in the whole chat, let him know that he was being toxic and that he was going to ruin the league because of it.
Yeah, don't try to rip people off, but definitely use your knowledge.
Lowball offers are okay, but not low ball offers.
There's a difference. Low and low.
Yeah, it's the depth of my voice.
Yeah. So, anyways, one other thing about the Mahomes deal. I was reading, he's making like $5,000 an hour, something like that.
Well, that's a breakdown with full guarantees.
Yeah, it's freaking a lot.
I mean, yeah. Obviously.
So, let's keep moving though. Want to keep moving?
Yeah, we've got another great quarterback coming up next who just got signed to a record-setting deal.
A ridiculous deal.
Oh, it's record-setting. You name another quarterback that was an MVP, that won MVP, that signed a league minimum deal.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. I feel so bad. Panthers did him dirty, but oh man, cutting him.
Yeah, obviously we're talking about Cam Newton now. Who signed with, you know, someone we've been hating for a few years personally. Obvious Dolphins fan. Like the idea of the Patriots, can never support them. Was really happy to see Cam go there because I thought it was good for their team. But I hate to see them go there because I do not want to have to see him play against us twice a year.
Yeah, there was one time I will never forget. I was at the stadium watching the Panthers versus the Dolphins. I thought we had it, man. Superman came out.
He is a big guy.
Yeah. Did you see his all of his weightlifting and workout videos?
Oh, I thought those were church videos. With the music that was going, I was just listening and jamming.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did. He was.
He's yoked.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's ready to crack some skulls this season.
Big time.
So something that's really interesting. He has the, like we said, the league minimum contract, which is only going to guarantee him $550,000 this year, with an optimal top out at $1 million. And we just talked about Patrick Mahomes, who's looking at $503 million between the next 10 years, breaking down to, you know, rough math, about $45 million this year. That racks up to $77 million with incentives by 2030. And so you have Cam Newton coming out here. League minimum. Where do you see Stidham doing?
Sitting on the bench.
The whole season, you don't see him starting at all?
No, not at all.
None.
No, like you said at the beginning, MVP.
That's never played.
With a chip on his shoulder.
That's never played it down with this team. That's going to be suiting up for their first game of the season in a month and a half with zero preseason games.
Jarrett Stidham has only played 1 year with the Patriots. He was a rookie last year.
And you're right. Agreed. And he only got 4 snaps during the regular season games.
How many times has he been an MVP in the league?
How many times has he not been signed by the team that wants him?
Yeah, but okay.
Or the team that doesn't want him?
Well, I mean.
How many times has he been cut? Who started over Cam last year?
Cam was hurt.
Cam was hurt the 2 games he started last season and the end of the season prior to that. He played hurt.
Exactly.
Until they realized, oh wow, he's not
actual Cam.
He's not doing himself.
He's had that much time to get prepared. Like you said, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he was a former MVP. I don't want to see him because I am a Dolphins fan.
Yeah.
However, I mean, I think he's gonna. I don't think it's gonna take long for Bill Belichick to realize what he has. I mean, when you're sitting there in camp and you've got Jarrett Stidham, who could be a great quarterback in the future, you know, whatever. Yeah. But when you've got a previous MVP, you know, quarterback sitting there playing or throwing the ball versus Jarrett Stidham, I mean, I don't, I think, and not only Do I think he's a better quarterback? I think he also opens up the offense to a lot more, and it'll be something different that we haven't seen the Patriots do in a while. And Belichick's a great coach, or a very smart coach, and I think he's going to use that to the best of his ability. My favorite stat, and I think this benefits Julian Edelman like crazy, Cam Newton, his average depth of target is 8.9, or I'm sorry, his average throw, his average distance is 8.9. Mm-hmm. Edelman's average depth of target, 9.2. That's a match made in heaven. You're speechless. It's pretty good.
So where are you drafting Edelman at?
I'm staying away from all Patriots this year.
Maybe
Cam, but
so excited for the man that you're not even going to touch.
Yeah. I mean,
especially when Stidham's throwing week one.
He's not going to be.
At least the first quarter.
No.
So
he'll throw the first quarter of the preseason game.
My argument for Stidham, you know, and I'm a hard believer that Cam Newton will be starting at least by week two for the rest of the season. And my whole idea behind this is they have zero camp, zero OTAs.
They have a little bit of camp.
Barely any camp, zero OTAs. Cam Newton hasn't even been to a down. I'm sorry, today was his first time being at camp. And you have Jarrett Stidham, who's been there throughout the season. He put up the best rookie. You know, this is a huge far shot, but he put up the best rookie numbers in the preseason, better than any quarterback behind Brady has ever done for the Patriots. That's including Garoppolo and Brissett. Last year in the preseason games, he went 60 for 90 for 731 yards in four games. We're talking preseason. I see that.
Yeah.
I know it's not game changing, but I believe it's enough because that's the time when a rookie makes his name and does what he does to keep on that, stay on the roster and hold his ground. So he proved himself to be at least a good preseason quarterback to keep himself on the roster. He only had four snaps, and I will give in that four snaps, he did throw a pick six. So his percentage is ruined. But he did throw four touchdowns in the preseason, only one interception. He had pretty good reads. He's not Brady-esque. He's not going to, you know, represent what Brady did. But I think he's shown enough with the shortened amount of camp this year that he'll get his start week one, and then he's going to blow it.
But, I mean, to go back to your question, where am I taking Cam and Edelman? Honestly, I have to project them. We're almost done with our projections. So once I project them, then, you know, I'll kind of see where it fits with the ADP. So, I mean, I definitely think that, let me see, what Cam's ADP? He's low. I believe he was around the 130 range last I checked.
And realistically, he needs to be going in the top 24 quarterbacks. If he's not a QB2, then he's being undervalued.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, let's see here. He is that's Cam Akers. Oof, rough. This is rough. Anyways, we'll get to the ADP in a second. But I think that he could definitely be, like you said. I mean, quarterback
31.
He's 153 ADP, and he is quarterback 23 off the board. So I mean, that's a pretty decent value.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting him, you know, like I said, within your top two quarterback, your QB1, QB2 range. If he has the upside to produce QB1 numbers, we've seen what Superman can do. So might as well continue to give him an opportunity. Don't have him as one of my late-round sleepers because I believe that it's kind of still a big question mark about what's going to be going on there. I love the idea of it. I think it's great. I actually moved him up to the starting position quarterback in one of my dynasty leagues once he signed with the Patriots. So I do have hope for him, but I am not the most confident that it's going to be the best situation. And I'm kind of curious to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. It'll definitely be great to see. And like I said, you know, as soon as we have our projections finished, I'll give you, you know, a little more insight on when I will be, you know, where I'll be taking him and if I'll be taking him. But let's move on to a guy who...
Who's going to save my teams.
Yeah, yeah. John's pretty heavily invested in this guy.
So I'm riding the Rojo Ronald Jones hype train from Miami to Maine because I've got him on both of my dynasty teams, and I need him to produce and ball out because I need a championship, and no one wants to trade me running backs. So as of right now, he actually just had an article posted, or he actually tweeted out, I'm sorry, that he was saying that personally for himself, he wants to lead the team in rushing and wants to be able to secure that backfield. And that he's been putting a lot of muscle on, he's been eating a lot, and he's been getting ready for it, which actually really scares me because that lets me know that
he's on the James Conner diet.
No, he's not on the James Conner diet. He's getting muscle. James Conner's shredding, putting on some like lean muscle. Rojo's bulking up, getting ready to run some people over. Hopefully. But no, basically what I'm trying to get at here is what he tweeted out is letting me know that he doesn't confidently believe he has the running back room, and he's hoping and wishing that Bruce Arians gives him that spot that I desperately need him to have. And as much as I want him to have it, I kind of fell on him once I saw that, because it lets me know again he doesn't confidently believe he holds that position, and Keyshawn Vaughn could come in and take that spot from him. But last year he had 172 carries with a shared backfield with Peyton Barber. And Peyton Barber got shipped off. Goodbye. Bye, Peyton Barber.
Where'd he go?
He went to Washington.
The Washington team.
The Washington team. The unnamed Washington. Fill in the blank because all the trademarks were taken. But last year, Ronald Jones did end up, even with that shared backfield, on 172 carries, you had the 25 RB in a PPR format and the 27 in a standard. And if you look at his actual game logs from last season, after week 8, he was extremely more consistent in his market share. And now that Peyton's shipped off and you have a rookie coming in, he has more opportunity and more reason to believe that he's going to have a lot more workload, or at least more consistent workload than he did last season. Also, with the addition of Tom Brady coming in, you've got someone who's a lot heavier into the RB dump passes, someone who's going to be feeding the ball to that running back, who's just going to catch the short route and take it upfield. Brady averages, 130 passing attempts to his running backs a season. Last year he had 153. The year before that he's at 154. Ronald Jones is going to be seeing, hopefully, if it's not him or Keyshawn, you might be seeing a Sony Michel, James White type of backfield where you have one just being a power back, one being a receiving back that also gets some power in there sometimes. Both of them can be fantasy relevant depending on the year you're looking at. And I think that Ronald Jones is going to be able to ball out.
Ball? Really?
I think he can ball, but I hope Bruce gives him the opportunity. Otherwise, what's it for?
Yeah. Yeah, John's really hopeful. Like I said, he has a lot of...
I have everything invested right on in. He is ranked number one running back in my Lose It All League.
Yeah. So, all right. Little scenario game here. Okay. Rojo, Ronald Jones going at RB 34. And Keyshawn Vaughn's going RB 46, respectively. The ADP is 83 and 125, and this is a standard league. Are you waiting to take Keyshawn? Do you think Keyshawn has will you take
With as much investment that I have in the Ronald Jones hype train,
In the hype, you're in the hype too.
I'm in the hype train. I have to be in the hype train. I have him. No one wants him. I can't seem to find anyone that's willing to part with running backs right now. So I'm riding the hype chain hard. I'm looking for whatever I can. I'm actually avoiding both of them because I do not want to deal with that situation and that stress. Let them both go. There's other people in that area I'm sure I can find that I'll be happy with. And
so you're not taking them in a redraft league, either of them?
No. As of right now, without the camp and the coach speak and the beat reporters coming out and giving us a little more information about how their backfield's looking with the addition of the rookies, I'd rather just stay away.
And here, just to give you guys some perspective, the RB33, so right in front of Ronald Jones, is DeAndre Swift. RB35 is Tevin Coleman. RB36 off the board is Cam Akers. I think there's only one, maybe two. I think I would take DeAndre before Ronald Jones, which obviously is going one, he's ADP 80. Ronald Jones is 83, like I said earlier. And then I may take Tevin Coleman, depending on how, you know, the Raheem Mostert situation plays out.
Yeah, last I saw that they were talking things out. There's no report whether that talk went good or bad, but they were talking.
Well, Raheem realizes that they're not gonna pay him.
The NFL market's dried up for running backs right now.
Well, even if he is traded, I mean, where is he going? We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, move. Easy segue.
Yeah, that's a great segue, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, like you were going to say, Devontae Freeman's agent wants him to get some work in.
Yeah, before training
COVID
camp.
COVID pending.
So, I mean, are there any teams you could see him going to? I mean, what are some possibilities? I mean, obviously, he is not the Devontae of old.
No.
I mean, we've seen that the past couple of years. It's caused a headache. Do you think he has any fantasy value? And do you think if you do, where do you see him, you know, having that value?
So like I just said, the NFL market for running backs is starting to dry up. There's a lot of teams that aren't even willing to pay the stud backs that they have, let alone worry about a contract for someone who's going to be towards the end of their career. He might have a year or two left. And that completely is dependent on what team he actually ends up with. Is he going to end up in a situation where he's fighting for that number one role? Is he ending up in a situation where he's the obvious RB2, RB3 on the team? It really depends. He could go to a team where he's just there to coach a rookie, because he did have some good season. He was a good running back in the past. He just isn't who he used to be, and that's just what you see happen with the position as you age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only take so many hits to the head. The only person I trust running this year that's old as heck, luckily isn't even in the league, so I can't lose any money on this, but that's Marshawn Lynch. I trust that man with anything.
You wouldn't trust Adrian Peterson?
No.
Frank Gore?
No. Fantasy-wise? You trust either of them?
Well, AP,
cancel,
you know,
the show.
AP, I mean, all day. I mean, he put up some numbers last year, but I mean, Marshawn didn't do too much though when he came back.
No, and it's just because Marshawn's ready to run through someone's face.
That's true.
And I don't know if I can trust anyone else to do that at that age.
Yeah, a couple. So, I don't think I would. I mean, Devontae doesn't have any, you know, value to me, no matter where he signs. If he signs in Philadelphia, it's kind of gonna take away from Miles
Absolutely.
Sanders, I think, you know.
And that's something that I didn't note on was if anything, he's not gonna in himself have any value. He's gonna vulture value from another player, and that's what you're gonna see end up happening, depending on what team he goes to. Because if he goes to a team like you just said, the Eagles, yeah, you'll see Miles Sanders' value go down exponentially this year. And that's just because he's going to lose a majority of his carries. If he ends up at a team, maybe the Rams? I mean, the Rams, Henderson, Akers.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty deep backfield.
They're deep. I mean, they can make their cuts. I'm saying, but that's what I mean when I say the market's really dried up for running backs. Teams have their running backs.
Well, and I think that's also one reason why Raheem Mostert
doesn't want to be traded now.
I mean,
he doesn't have
trade,
no teams so. Want him. We are there. Dolphins got Matt Breida and Jordan Howard this year. We're starting this year with two good running backs who have never put on a Dolphins uniform before, and we ended the season with no one. Kalen Ballage, who I've been holding on to in my taxi squad for years, hoping that he does something for me. The other guy got hurt. I can't even remember his name because he's Mr. Irrelevant now.
Miles Gaskin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, that is pretty relevant.
So it's crazy to think that even I feel like the Dolphins were an extremely RB needy team last season, and that's already been filled. The only other team that doesn't have their standout studs off the top of my head is the Rams. If you want to call Singletary a standout back in Buffalo, maybe you say Buffalo needs a running back.
Mm. So what we're getting at is Devontae Freeman is a no-go this year, no matter where he signs.
Watch where he goes, because he could steal the value from your running backs. And
big facts.
If you get early news of, hey, he came to my team, then you might want to make some trade offers with your running backs and try to figure something out there.
Yeah, so that is it for the news, guys, for the off season. I felt like we, you know, covered a decent amount, some fantasy implications. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, obviously, there's the off season was so long.
Yeah, there's a ton. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of other news too we can get into. But
yeah, I mean, the draft happened post Super Bowl, so we covered everything that's fantasy relevant, or you know, Patrick Mahomes $500 million deal. How are you not gonna bring that up? Because dream about that later tonight. So
you want to get into the fan question? We do have a fan question today. I think we have time for one. Like we said, or like we keep saying, feel free to send your fan questions in. You could send any fantasy football questions to us at the Fantasy Tap on Instagram, at the Fantasy Tap on Twitter, and the Fantasy Tap at gmail.com. Feel free to send any questions there. Also, beer recommendations. We'll be getting to that in a minute. But let's get to our fan question of the day. We will go through... the question comes from million_miles77 on Twitter. Shout out, Hugh.
Miles.
Shout out, Hugh.
What up, Hugh?
Yeah.
Huey Longstocking.
Anyways, he asked, do you see any value on taking players this year who are already on teams and know the offense versus a rookie who won't have a preseason to prove themselves? It kind of goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning.
Wow, great timing. This absolutely does. As we've stated a handful of times already this show, you will definitely see that your rookies' ADPs hopefully have fallen enough to where, you know, they're not getting that workload. They're not going to be seeing any of that field time early on in the season before they even get, you know, before they even get right to the regular season. Which rookies are going to make the roster that didn't have the opportunity to prior? You know, which, you know, like I said earlier, your preseason games make your 53-man roster. That is for your draft picks and the people you're willing to cut. It's not for the starting players. That's why the starting players are so happy to see it gone. So
yeah. So let me give you some scenarios. Okay. Or do you want to give the scenarios to me? I've been giving you the scenarios all day.
All right. Let me give you a couple. 1 second. So someone that's going, we're going to go similar ADP for someone that's a rookie versus someone who's entering an offense they're at least semi-relevant with. So at ADP 54 and ADP 55, you've got Cam Akers and Kareem Hunt.
Give me Kareem.
You want Kareem Hunt in that situation?
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with the COVID that's been going on, or is that just a player caliber?
For him, I don't think so in that scenario. I don't think so because, I mean, we've seen what Kareem can do. All it takes, you know, is obviously Nick Chubb's a very talented back. One injury and, you know, he's a starter. And he could be, I mean, his upside is running back one.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, running back one.
Absolutely. But I'd actually take Kareem Hunt in this situation, but just be play devil's advocate a little bit here. You've got Cam Akers, who was drafted into a team who's starting two running backs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't even used very well when the last running back was getting throttled.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not believe that Cam Akers was brought in to be that RB1?
This kind of goes back to the question of COVID, though. And the shortened season, Daryl Henderson was in the offense last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't...
Malcolm Brown?
Well, either of them. But I'm saying I don't think that, you know, Cam will get the opportunity because, like we've been saying, he doesn't have...
The time to learn. Okay.
So, and I mean, apples or Akers versus Kareem. I'm going Kareem.
Okay. So, what about if we moved it over to a different type of running back that's not so, you know, so heavy? What about Jonathan Taylor going at the 39 and Mark Ingram at the 41? Are you taking Ingram over Taylor?
Yeah. No, I think Taylor definitely has the upside of a wide receiver or of a running back one with that offensive line in a standard league. I think high end running back two and, you know, PPR, maybe half point PPR. He's a great running back. We've seen, you know, you saw what he did at Wisconsin. I mean, ridiculous.
Ran people over.
Which is why, you know, he's one of the first
running backs off the board.
So, but in that instance, I mean, I'm going Ingram. Another reason, I mean, obviously the Baltimore Ravens, they run the ball.
Predominantly.
So, you got any others? How many you got?
I've got a handful of them.
Ooh, let's give them.
All right, so let's rapid fire a couple of them off.
Boom.
What about Keyshawn Vaughn, Marlon Mack?
Marlon Mack.
I was with you on the Mark Ingram over Jonathan Taylor, but I think I'm taking Keyshawn Vaughn over Marlon Mack this year. And that's, again, just the same reason that you just said. You said Jonathan Taylor just had opportunity to be an RB1, and that's obviously because you believe that he's has the chances to take that starting position away from Marlon Mack.
Ooh, yeah. You got me.
It's cool. It's fine. I know. It happens every once in a while.
Yep.
So what about CeeDee Lamb or Emmanuel Sanders?
I do like CeeDee Lamb a lot this year.
He's got third wide receiver on the depth chart at the moment.
Yeah, but he's
unproven. Never seen a snap.
No, but he's running those. You get the ball in his hands, he's a playmaker, and I like that.
Yeah.
We also saw, I mean, where was the wide receiver two last year in New Orleans? He wasn't. It was a Michael Thomas show. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is good. That's a difficult
one. Emmanuel Sanders wasn't there last year, though.
I know, but still, I mean.
I think your wide receiver two last year was like Traquan. And
Ginn. Ted Ginn.
Was he not?
Yeah, he was there. He was there.
I wasn't sure if he was there.
This is a difficult one. I think I'm going to take Sanders just because of the quarterback situation. And the offense as a whole.
All right. So I would probably agree with you this time, especially in a redraft league, because I don't see CeeDee having as much value. CeeDee is going to be an amazing receiver long term, but this year it's kind of questionable. Again, like the question asked us originally that we got started on, it's all about how much time is he going to have to get adjusted to that offense, get that timing in with Dak or Andy Dalton, and see how much he can produce in that offense. Mm-hmm. And there's not time to get his position. Last one that I'm going to bring up. What about if we move over to quarterback? Are you taking Burrow or Baker, the 139, the 140 versus the 139, respectively?
Ooh, Joe. I'm taking
number one overall versus.
I'm taking Baker.
You're taking Baker.
I think I'm taking Baker only because of the offensive line. He's got. I mean, not only they both have weapons around him. I mean, you've got Odell, Jarvis, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt around Baker, and then you've got T. Higgins is a new addition, but you've got A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon around Burrow, but that offensive line is not good.
Oh, it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Absolute dumpster fire.
PFF actually put out a preseason ranking, and they were 31st.
We don't need to go 32nd. Don't worry about it.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, by the way, Miami's getting a lot of heat from everyone. Madden, Dolphins, 32nd overall team. Can we get it together here?
Who are you going? Burrow, Baker. Quick.
Making it quick. I'd sit there and ponder for a second, but I'd probably be going Baker just because of the talent that's on the team. I mean, you've got OBJ, you've got Jarvis, like you just said. You've got Kareem Hunt, you've got Nick Chubb, you've got, even if someone big goes down, you have someone else almost as big as that person behind them to take over that position and continue to produce for you. So, I mean, the only thing holding Baker back is Baker himself. And with as much fame as he brought himself in his rookie season, mm-hmm. put himself in the public image, and as much heat as he got for having the offseason that he just did, I think it's great. I don't think he's going to have that second season progression. I think he's going to have that third season progression. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, but I think he has better opportunity and better chance to be a starting a better quarterback than Joe Burrow will this year.
Beautiful.
Especially without any OTA time.
Great. That was amazing. Amazing analysis, John. I love it.
Great.
We're here for the people, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Another reason to be here.
Let's get into our beer of the day.
Oh, crack it.
Nice, right? Pretty cool. That was the first drop. Yep. First drop we've done. And it is, like I said earlier, it's from Terrapin Beer Company. out of Athens, Georgia. High and Hazy IPA.
Oh, that's a hop. I did not, this little green plant on the can, I did not think it can, was a hop.
Bro.
It is now looking at it again, it is definitely a bushel of hops.
It's, I mean, first we had Golden Monkey last time, and now it's Dope Can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's getting better.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
great,
I think this is an awesome can. Well, it's got a hop in the middle. It kind of looks like a sun going around it. It's a nice light blue. And then the High and Hazy has a purple faded to blue to light blue font, which is pretty dope.
It's almost like a Tiffany blue.
Yeah, it says Kiss the Sky, which is pretty cool.
I wonder if that's because it's high.
Yeah. So it's a dope can. And the beer inside is even better.
No, absolutely. So like you said, we've got High and Hazy here. This comes out of Terrapin Beer Company in Athens, Georgia. The ABV on it's a 5.8, so it's not as strong as, you know, your Golden Monkey is going to be, but it will definitely make you enjoy your beer itself. The IBU is only coming in at a 38, so it's still pretty smooth. It's got that beer flavor again, but again, it's a really silky smooth taste, and that's because when they brew it, they use a lot of wheat and shaved oats, and they throw the hops in the last second just to give it that hoppy flavor at the end. And it just adds this really smooth, silky texture to the mouth as you're taking your drinks. What'd you think about the flavor?
I thought it was great. I mean, it kind of typical IPA. Okay. I'm a big IPA guy personally.
Not my top tier, but I like it.
Yeah, you're more of a stout.
I love myself sours.
Yeah, he's a sour guy, but I'm more of an IPA guy. And honestly, out of the ones I've been drinking lately, it's one of my favorite. I mean, I'm going to go pick up a six pack later.
Yeah. To be honest, as someone, I personally won't drink an IPA out of choice unless it's handed to me or it's what everyone else is drinking around me.
He's heavily influenced.
So as far as the IPAs go, I could easily drink this consecutively. No, like back to back. And at that 5.8%, it's not something that's going to make you really feel it. If you're sitting there casually drinking these for a handful of hours while you're hanging out with some friends or watching some football, it's going to give you that nice little good feeling, but not too much.
I think one of the coolest things, first of all, they have two tap rooms, one in Athens, Georgia, where they originated, and then one, which I think this is the coolest part. I'm a Braves fan. I don't watch baseball, and I'm not much of a baseball fan, but if I root for a team, it's the Braves. They've got a tap room at SunTrust Park, which I think is pretty neat.
Oh, that is sick. Right? I could go to a baseball game for a beer.
Me too.
Especially if there's a nice little tap room. Yeah, set it up.
So it's awesome. I think that's really neat. And actually, when they started, it was the third – what was the original name?
Oh, Three Up, Three Down.
Three Up, Three Down was the original name of the High and Hazy APA. Ended up changing it, but it's because they started out there in that tap room, started in that tap room is one of their – best sellers there, but they ended up changing the name again to High and Hazy. One other cool thing, March 13th this year, they just made it a year-round beer, so matter what time of the year it is.
I could drink this on the beach, too.
You'll get it. Yeah, it's a great beach beer.
It's not really heavy, so you can drink it and not feel like you're kind of weighing yourself down and feeling all hot, especially if you've been in that sun.
One of the other things... neither tap room are open currently, but if you go to shop.terrapinbeer.com, you can actually order from their website.
When you order yourself a six-pack, can you get me one too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not driving to Athens.
Yeah, so order it.
Actually, no, you're going to Georgia this week.
I am, but they're closed.
No, shop.terrapinbeer.com, you can order your six-pack and pick it up.
Oh, I should have let you finish what you were saying.
Yeah, you should have. Yep. So anyways, since their tap rooms aren't open right now, their gift shops are still. And like I said, shop.terrapinbeer.com. Order them if you're in the area of either Atlanta or Athens. You got anything else on the beer, John?
No, I mean, we really didn't hit the flavor profile too much. But from what I can taste from it... like I said, originally it's that smooth mouthfeel flavor, and it just kind of rounds out with a really sweet bitterness at the end that is kind of covered with a little bit of citrus, but you're not really
you're not really getting that really hard bite at the end. It's the perfect IPA for someone that doesn't want to admit they don't like IPAs. Mm-hmm. If you're at a brewery and your friends are ordering them all and they're talking about them, it's a great one you could drink and casually drink. It's great for someone that's just getting into the craft brewery game.
Dope. Awesome. Oh, so I apologize. One more thing. Their beer locator, terrapinbeer.com. You can go to their website, type in your zip code, and you'll see where you can get this beer. Yeah, dope. John, hit them with where they can hit us up for their beer recommendations. Absolutely. And fantasy questions.
So all of your, first off, all your fantasy questions, start sits, rosters, trades, who do I draft, when do I draft, why do I draft? How do I draft? Watch our last episode for that. But if you have any questions like that, make sure to send them to us at thefantasytap.com or fantasytap@gmail.com.
Dope.
Or if you want to hit us up on any social medias, it's @thefantasytap on Instagram and Twitter. And there you can send us your questions and your beer reviews or any beers you want us to check out. Thank you, everyone.
We love you guys. Thank you so much.